is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
All right, another episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Today on the show, she is an associate professor at Indiana University in the School of Health and Rehabilitation Sciences, Department of Physical Therapy, on faculty at IUPT since 1998, is a certified orthopedic manual therapist with over 20 years experience as a trainer and clinical expertise in instrument-assisted soft tissue manipulation. And building on her clinical and teaching experience and doctorate in anatomy and cell biology from IU, she has recently shifted her focus to her primary area of research interest, synthesizing the fields of manual therapy and regenerative medicine by exploring the effects of soft tissue manipulation on tissue healing, repair, and regeneration in musculoskeletal conditions. In support of this mission, she was recently named director of the SHRS Applied Regenerative Medicine Lab with an overarching goal to contribute to the emerging field of regenerative rehabilitation science. On the show today, we welcome Dr. Terry Lagmani. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's a pleasure to be here.
That's a heck of an intro right there. You got a lot going on.
Oh, well, thank you. A lot to do.
Yeah, and this is a big field, but we always throw the hardest question first. The hardest question is, what are we drinking tonight?
Oh, well, that's good. I'm drinking a local beer from Sun King. It's the Wee Mac. It's a Scottish ale, kind of a darkish beer, but with a sweet taste.
I like that. And I went local too, and you'd give me a heads up that you were going to go Scottish ale. So I'm staying local to New York. It's the Davidson Brothers Brewing Company. I'm doing their Scottish ale as well. They're out of Glens Falls, New York. We're both doing the Scottish ales.
Cheers.
Cheers to you. All right. Tough questions are out of the way. So physical therapy and regenerative medicine, I have a classmate who actually brought you up in terms of wanting to get you on the show. His name is Zach Harmon. So we give credit for Zach for this episode. Regenerative medicine and PT, what brought you to going into research in regenerative medicine in the field of PT?
Well, because I had a long clinical history and also teaching history for manual therapy, in particular soft tissue mobilization and instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization, I was one of the first physical therapists to work with the Graston technique and was the trainer and author of their training manual. And I would continually get questions, well, what's going on? What are you really doing when you do soft tissue manipulation? And I would theorize and come up with some good underlying physiology. And then I eventually went into a full-time faculty position at Indiana University, stayed active clinically, and those questions kept coming to my mind and being asked by others. So I was in an optimal position to return for my doctorate, and I chose to go back for anatomy and cell biology, and my studies centered around the effects of soft tissue manipulation on ligament healing in a rodent model, and found that there was indeed increased strength on the massaged side as compared to the opposite non-massaged side, and that there was, as a function of that, we believe, or cause of that, was that we did further studies and found that there was increased blood flow and possible angiogenesis. And I happened to be in a individual's lab who offered his lab up to me to do laser Doppler imaging. His name is Dr. Keith March. And when he found out the results of those initial studies, he theorized that there was probably some sort of stem cells that could be either activated or mobilized. And we stayed in contact off and on for a little while, lost contact. Then I happened to run into him in a Chinese restaurant when I was thinking I would really like to continue studying the effects of soft tissue manipulation on stem cell. And there it was. And so we reignited our collaboration about a year ago, and I decided to go full force into this research.
So thanks to some Chinese food for getting that back together. Yeah,
that's right.
With your background, you're really looking for not only the what a PT is doing on a particular patient. You're looking at the why it might actually be successful, and that's important.
We need to understand the underlying mechanisms.
I want you to talk about the recent pilot study that you're involved with, and you got to present it at the International Symposium in Regenerative Rehabilitation at the Mayo Clinic. My classmate, Zach, he got a chance to go up there, and man, he couldn't stop talking about all that was being said up there.
Well, I appreciate that. Our initial pilot study was in healthy young adult males who did not have back pain, who received instrumented assisted soft tissue mobilization using the Graston tools to their back for average amount of time, which is about 20 minutes, which was, it was controlled 20 minutes in the study. And we took peripheral vein blood samples and analyzed them for a change in circulating stem cells, which include broad array because we just didn't know what would be there. So we looked at hematopoietic stem cells, endothelial progenitor cells, mesenchymal stem cells, and found that the immediate effects were after 20 minutes of a baseline of rest. So the person came in, we got a baseline, they rested for 20 minutes, and we took another blood sample. And then after 20 minutes of intervention, we took another blood sample. And we definitely found that there was an increase in circulating mesenchymal stem cells through the use of flow cytometry and the markers of CD34 positive, 31 negative, and 45 negative. And then we're encouraged to see that there was a treatment effect at a 0.04 level, which was 3.5-fold increase in the circulating stem cells.
So what you're saying is you had them rest for 20 minutes. You did some instrument-assisted soft tissue manipulation, healthy young males without back pain, and then you were testing their blood to see what was actually happening.
Yes.
Now, I promise I passed all these courses and a lot of these nouns are sounding familiar, but what do these cells do again?
Well, stem cells, and particularly mesenchymal stem cells, are known for their anti-inflammatory, immunomodulatory, anti-apoptotic, which means they help
cells
not die.
Right.
And so that's an anti-aging effect. And interestingly, in some other literature with more massage-based modalities, which involves soft tissue manipulation, the same effects are found. We found that through soft tissue manipulation, there's suggestion in the literature that there are anti-inflammatory effects, such as decreased neutrophils, which is another finding we found in our study, that there was a decrease in neutrophils, which are inflammatory cells. And then probably one of the more promising, but there's also been shown that it helps boost the immunity as well as perhaps anti-aging quality. So there's definitely parallels. And so we thought it was plausible that, well, maybe there's a connection. Set out to explore that.
So when you were done with your study, what did you actually find? What was the conclusion?
That there is mechanical stimulus from soft tissue mobilization or manipulation is somehow mobilizing these stem cells into circulation. That's what we know. And we also know that there was a decrease in inflammatory cells. So, and that was in normal individuals. What that leads us to do is to continue study to see, is this linked to clinical outcomes such as decreased pain and an improved function?
You know, I've had instrument-assisted soft tissue manipulation done on me. It feels good. You feel better after a session of it, but now you're able to actually show why that might be with the anti-inflammatory and the anti-aging cells being now put into circulation. You're actually able to prove there's a method behind the madness.
And it not only feels good, it does good, and that there's actually potential for cells that have regenerative capacity to be activated, which could be used for augmentation of other regenerative therapies, prevention of aging and degenerative diseases, if we can get it before it actually, you know, gets too bad. So not just for treatment, but for prevention.
So what are some of those directions that you had just mentioned? You said some future study directions. Where can this go? I feel like this can go in a lot of different directions.
Well, I'm excited. So we're going to go both down the rodent and the humans with low back pain path.
Right.
And so we need to get to some of the underlying mechanisms better so that we can draw a connection between not only changes in the cellular behavior, but what also is happening on a connective tissue level and other markers, other biomarkers, such as anti-inflammatory molecules. We're going to be looking at resolvin and the protectins and so forth that may be released. So not only inflammatory molecules, but also looking at anti-inflammatory molecules on a tissue level, as well as a systemic level. So those could be either in the tissue or circulating. So we're going to do soft tissue manipulation to the back of rodents who have had chemically induced low back pain and see what that does for them. Look at their tissue and the circulating cells and do kind of a broadcast, as well as see how that affects their pain through, like, using Bonfray's microfilaments and a pressure algometer. And also, I'm lucky to have access to Dr. Xiaoming Xu's lab here, which is an animal behavioral core, in which we can do gait analysis of the rodents, as well as open field activity and other activities. So that's on the docket for next February to start.
So it's kind of like a rodent combine. You can see how they move and how they react to all the things that you're putting into them.
Yes, from a functional level. So rodents that are hurting tend to not move very much. They stay hunched. They have asymmetrical gait patterns. So we're going to be able to look at this and see if we can get through soft tissue manipulation, perhaps with augmentation of UPPET, put some more MSCs in there and see, does that make it even better? You know, and so, right. And then on another level, we're looking at humans, in which we're have the IRB approval to start recruiting individuals with low back pain and see if we get the same results of enhanced MSC circulation, and does that correlate with a change in pain?
That's exciting. And essentially, what goes on in clinics across the country and across the world starts with an idea like this and a test like this. I mean, that's got to feel pretty good in terms of seeing a result and getting something published. Like, what's that feel like? Because I've taken three research classes, and my first one, I was kind of like, yeah, I get it. I got to go through this. And the second one, I started to kind of like it. After the third, after being exposed to it and being able to, you know, learn how to actually read and learn how to read critically, I started to like it a lot more, and I'd be able to find something I liked and disliked and be able to tell the difference. But what's that feel like to actually know that the stuff you're doing is going to be extrapolated on and worked on and read and then be put into practice?
Well, it is rewarding, and it's also humbling, because you get a great appreciation for, before I started it, I probably looked at other people's papers and said, oh, that's a nice outcome, without maybe a true appreciation of the level of work that goes into that, and also the level of impact that it could have that makes it worth doing. It's a great journey, and I think everybody, if you embark on it, you have to do it at your own time. I do think that as physical therapists, we're in a very unique position that we can use our interventions to activate and mobilize endogenous stem cell activity. And we can also use our interventions to augment exogenous stem cells that may be used, like, through bioscaffolding or injected into an individual, so as a part of rehab. So we can look at it from not only physical therapy as examination for these regenerative therapies and surgeries that are done, but also as an intervention. And I think it's really important that we get in and are an integral part of regenerative medicine through the emerging field of regenerative rehabilitation.
It's exciting. I know several of the students that I'm in class with are starting to get really, really caught up in reading a lot about this. And whenever they bring up some of the things that they find just in terms of the field of regenerative medicine as it relates to physical therapy, it's really, really exciting. It feels like we are really, really at the cutting edge. And just some of the results are so promising that I really can't wait to see where we are in 5 or 10 years from now.
Well, I think some of the things that have been around the longest are going to stay around the longest, and they might even be underappreciated by science in general. I mean, soft tissue manipulation has been around since really been written history,
right?
Pre-written history. Exercise, and think of, if you combine those modalities, how those could augment each other.
Right.
And these are natural forms of intervention and regeneration that can be used worldwide, that don't require invasive procedures or possible pharmaceuticals that have side effects that
right.
can be associated with them.
And cost, too. I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to, unfortunately, a lot of times, is the almighty dollar. And I like to hear where, especially with your study, you're studying something that has, like, as you said, been around since the dawn of time. You know, everybody knows getting something done like that feels good, but now you're saying there is that method to the madness. There is, you're able to study on a cellular level, and now, and the big P word, word is prove it, and prove to people with science and being thorough and being able to show it, and now put some literature behind it. So that, I think that's great. Is now we're actually starting to be able to prove a lot of these things that we know work in the clinic, and now we can say, look, mm-hmm. you know, they've studied it, and we know it works, and here's why.
And optimize it so right. that we can, which for individualized rehabilitation, that we know, you know, how often, for how long, when.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of questions to keep exploring.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk more about why the biological effects and the clinical benefit of soft tissue manipulation is so important to explore. I think we touched on that a little bit. And why is it so important for PTs to become involved in the emerging field of regenerative rehabilitation now? I know as a student, I'm looking forward to learning more and more and hearing more and more. I want to get into that. We'll be back in 60 seconds with Terry Logmani. Don't move.
Taking IPAs over TKAs. It's the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast proudly supports the Wounded Warrior Project. Since 2003, the Wounded Warrior Project has been raising funds and awareness for the needs of injured service members, helping injured servicemen and women with aid and assistance, and to provide unique direct programs and services to meet their needs. Their continuing goal is to foster the most successful, well-adjusted generation of wounded service members in our nation's history. To find out how you can help the Wounded Warrior Project, visit them online at woundedwarriorproject.org. Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
And we're back on the PT Pintcast with Dr. Terry Logmani from Indiana University. And we're talking regenerative rehabilitation and physical therapy. You talked a little bit about your pilot study and where that's going to go. But overarching, why do you think it's so important to study the biological effects and the benefits that we get out of those, the treatments that we use with in terms of soft tissue manipulation? Why is it so important to explore, and where else can it go?
Good question. I think we touched on some of the points in our first half of the interview, but when I look at physical therapy, I look at it as potent medicine. I think of it definitely as a prescription that is more direct and quicker than any pharmaceutical. It is also typically not going to be associated with negative side effects or invasive procedures, and overall is cost effective. And so understanding what we do when we impart a force, a mechanical stimulus into the tissue, is critical to kind of see through that application from a superficial standpoint, but down deep into the tissue, into the cell, into the molecular level, so that we can optimize the effects that we're giving to the patient or promoting with the patient.
Yeah, you don't need to necessarily break the skin to be able to influence some tissues underneath or what's being circulated throughout the body.
That's right. It's a form of mechanotherapy, and it's known that every cell in the body is reactive to mechanical stress, whether it be compression, tension, or shear. What we do in physical therapy, whether it be exercise, many of our modalities, soft tissue manipulation, all of those are having a direct effect on the cells in the body, which can cause them to change their behavior through upregulation of RNA that can create proteins that can change the tissue that then changes the function that then, you know, impacts the quality of life for the person. So it's all the way from macroscopic to microscopic and back that we have an effect.
Yeah, one of the other things was when you were going through the list of benefits in terms of versus pharmaceuticals, there's that other thing that even if it is done too much, if you get hooked on it, it's not necessarily a bad thing in terms of exercise.
Correct. And I think there's that therapeutic window, again, from the mechanotherapy perspective, we know that tissue responds to optimal loading. Whether it's loaded too much, that can cause destruction of the tissue, or if it's not loaded enough, it will lead to disuse, atrophy, or weakening of the tissue. So there's that window of therapeutic load and dose, and dose response that needs to be investigated and applied to the patients. And as therapists in the clinic, we know that, you know, we can see what changes. It made the person, you know, feel better, and it made them move better. But to really hold our place within the prescription of physical therapy that makes it very individualized to a given individual who's at a certain phase of tissue healing and repair, it's a true science.
Well, it would be hard, like you said, you're using that word, that optimize word, in terms of making sure it's right for this patient at this particular time, at this prescription, at this dose. And that's where researchers come in terms of figuring out what that actually is. Just because you've selected the right treatment, now you've got to make sure where this patient falls in a spectrum of applying that treatment, so it's not too much or too little.
That is correct. And I think another reason to understand this underlying biology is that cells respond most quickly to a mechanical stimulus. As soon as anything affects their membrane, the plasma membrane, it is transmitted through the cytoskeleton of the cell directly to the nuclear lemma, which is the surrounding of the nucleus, which then affects the chromatin, which can cause it to unwind and to selectively upregulate or downregulate certain activities. It's like in the terms of nanoseconds how quick this happens, like an immediate effect, as compared to pharmacological effect or even heat effect, that it's going to be the quickest way to change and get a response, a change in response.
So that's really where I see, just from hearing you talk in the last, you know, 20 minutes, is that's where PT and regenerative medicine and rehabilitation can help. That's just one way in terms of knowing how to identify exactly what is optimal in terms of prescribing for a patient. And that's only done through research and being able to back it up and reproduce that. As you said, we can see in the clinic when someone moves better, but how do we know what is in fact optimal? So I wanted to talk to you about this, Grass and Tool, and you actually wrote their playbook? You wrote their instruction manual?
I was the primary author and was co-authored with Warren Hammer and John Schrader. So, yep, but 1998.
Talk about that. How did you get involved in it? And what was that like, kind of writing the book on Graston, literally?
Well, I did not develop the instruments, but there was, you know, kind of how everything lines up at the same time. And I had just finished my master's in physical therapy and completed my certification in orthopedic manual therapy. And someone who knew me said, hey, they're looking for a physical therapist, Andre Hall and Dave Graston, who developed the instruments, to come and work at their first clinic to help develop the protocols and the training system. And so it was kind of serendipitous that happened. But when I saw the instruments and they just kind of put in my hands and started working, I said, there's something here. You know, they don't replace the hands, but they definitely allow you the opportunity to deliver a force to the tissue in a more precise and exacting manner, and also to assess the tissue through that sort of fine-tuning magnification of what the hands could feel through the steel. And I thought, this is something I really wanted to see where it could go, and found experience is one level of evidence, testimonials are another level of evidence, and through just repeated success with patients who had even had scars or restrictions for decades, and seeing how that could help mobilize those soft tissue restrictions propelled me and still propels me into continuing to investigating the under reasons as to why is it so beneficial.
Yeah, the why to the what in terms of what's happening and why am I getting a good result or a bad result. You need to know that. You need to be always questioning, especially when you're a scientist.
Yeah, and I love teaching the Graston technique, and because it really can change how a person might function in the clinic the very next day that they go back to the clinic. So it's able to affect the clinical practice immediately. And I think I need to point out that there are several other forms of instrument-assisted soft tissue manipulation approaches, and none of which have been proved to be superior over the next. I think some of that is kind of a user preference or maybe even patient preference. But I think that's another area of study, is what material is the best at delivering a force or being able to assess the soft tissue? Is dispersive pressure better than localized pressure? what's the depth of pressure that's the optimal? And it could be very much related to the structure that you're trying to reach. But as of now, no material or system has been proved as better than the other. However, I do think that manipulating the soft tissue has therapeutic benefit. Augmenting it with instrument assisted can help deliver a more precise force when it's needed that can further improve the outcomes.
So why is it so important for physical therapists across the spectrum to become involved with the emerging field of regenerative rehabilitation? How can other PTs out there who might not consider themselves researchers, how can they help? And why is it so important?
The field of regenerative medicine is here, and it's here to stay, and it's going to continue to expand over the next 5 to 10 years. Its applications can just really be kind of a new wave of how we affect tissue healing and repair. If, as physical therapists, we don't get involved now, we're not going to be there to affect the protocols, the post-surgical protocols or the post-injection protocols of these regenerative therapies and cell therapies that are going to become a part of medicine, precision medicine. We don't want to relegate that to just a protocol that's just not really been worked to see what does improve the cell therapy outcome or regenerative medicine surgery outcome. It's to be a part of the future that we really need to invest ourselves now.
Whenever I hear regenerative rehabilitation, I do think of the future. What is going to come next? Because every time you read an article about something, every couple of months, something amazing comes across your inbox and you say, wow, that's amazing. It's going to be even more amazing 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years down the line. So we better get involved. We better embrace this in terms of a field of physical therapy or we'll be left behind.
And that isn't even talking about the innate potential for people to heal, is that even before there is a regenerative therapy intervention, is how, as physical therapists, can we prevent disease, degenerative processes, instead of waiting until the person has degenerative joint disease, is how about when they're in their late 20s, early 30s, really becoming a part of improving their activity, their musculoskeletal postural balance, their alignment, and augment their own regenerative capacities through optimizing their stem cell therapy activation and mobilization. We know that exercise, if a person who exercises will typically live a decade longer than those that don't. This is for real. I mean,
yeah.
And it has a lot of other physiological reasons behind it, but perhaps one of the most direct is that it's literally tapping into those stem cell niches, activating their activity.
So when I tell my father over and over again, you got to exercise because you'll live longer, and he says, yeah, I can send him to you. I can send him to your website, and you can prove it to him because we've got science to prove it.
And it isn't just in soft tissue manipulation.
Right.
There's other studies with exercise that are definitely showing this, and then some modalities such as electrical stimulation and so forth against resistance is showing that. So putting the two together, I think, could not only improve the length of our life, but the quality of our lives.
So let's see who else. You have anybody else that you know is doing exciting research? I mean, anybody else out there that caught your eye or your ear when you were at the symposium at the Mayo Clinic?
Wow, there's a lot.
You can name drop all you want.
Oh, well, like the University of Pittsburgh, the investigators there, Fabricia Ambrosio, is doing excellent research with exercise and stem cells, and also has looked into electrical stimulation. There was a group out of Japan, I don't remember their name, very exciting, in which they showed that dogs with osteoarthritis in the knee that had stem cells injected into the intra-articular space who exercised had better outcomes. So that's a large animal model that was very exciting. Also, then there's the whole area of wound healing itself, just with post-mastectomies and so forth, and injecting stem cells into the area to help with improve scars, peripheral vascular disease, injecting stem cells into the muscles themselves to improve vascularization of the tissue. I know of another person, we're collaborating with Josh Hare from the Integrated Stem Cell Institute at Miami. He's looking at stem cells injection and anti-frailty. So if there's a condition, a disease that affects basically any organ, there's
somebody
there's
on it
that it's going to be looking at the applications of regenerative therapies to those conditions, including injecting stem cells straight into the heart that's had an MI, and they're showing that it helps to regenerate cells. So, wow.
It's exciting to hear, and it's exciting to hear as a student who's going to graduate in a couple of months that I can be working in terms of helping someone who's received a treatment like this or providing a treatment like this and now knowing the why and the what.
Yeah, and I think that's as a physical therapist, when we work with a person and direct a mechanical stimulus into the person's tissues, understand and see that we're really affecting the organism itself from the molecule, from the molecular level to the whole function of that organism. So it's operating in a very intentional way when we're prescribing our interventions.
Allowing us to just be more precise and be more effective and optimal.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's a cool way to put it. All right. So each episode is a pint, but before we're done with our pint, we do shots.
Oh, what are we going to do a shot of?
Hold on. Parting shots. So if you had one piece of advice or a clinical pearl that you'd want to share with everybody, students, you know, new PTs or experienced PTs alike, is there some piece of advice that you'd want to impart on them as a parting shot?
Well, one is to get moving and get others moving, because that motion, whether it be through soft tissue manipulation or exercise, is invaluable. And to not be afraid of research. To collaborate with perhaps bona fide faculties who are researching, and see how you can collaborate as clinicians, even on the level of case studies and case series, to contribute to that body of knowledge. So, sometimes it's a little bit scary to think about going into research, but it's, again, very worthwhile and a lot of fun, especially if you find out something.
Yeah, and the field's only going to benefit from it, you know, no matter what you're doing, the field's going to benefit from it.
Uh-huh.
And that ultimately means that a patient is going to benefit from it, and that's kind of why we're all here, right?
That's right.
I like that a lot. I've learned about research. I'll be honest. My first year, research was something scary. It got a little less scary, And now I'm actually kind of drawn to it. So hearing you talk, I understood like most of what you were saying. So eventually I'll graduate and be able to understand everything.
Well, it's important to find mentors and collaborators that can help you through that process until you feel like you've gotten more comfortable with it too.
The more I read, the more I get comfortable, the more I want to see more than I'm not necessarily comfortable about, because I want to learn more.
Excellent.
I want to push it, you know?
Excellent.
So this was a great talk. I'm interested to see what's going to happen, not just in the entire field, but specifically with your studies as things go on. And I hope this isn't the last time we talk. I hope you've got some more stuff coming up, and we can share it with everybody out there.
I appreciate that. We can stay in touch on that.
That sounds great. Everybody, Terry Logmani on the PT Pinecast. Terry, it was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they? The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.